You know the best part of me not recording?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say anything that was worth recording.
No, we didn't. So it's like you knew.
Yeah. I think my recorder knew. I think it shut off when you got,
so it's rolling now, you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ready for magic.
Do you ever notice in life that hilarity never ensues? Like hijinks. Hijinks never, like something happens and then hijinks ensues, like in the movies.
Right.
Yeah, that never happens in real life.
Are you sure?
It just happens. Hello and welcome to episode 134 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Were you intimidated by the mellifluousness of my voice?
No, I wasn't.
Really? Well, now you're going to be. Now it's in your head.
Okay. I was intrigued. How about that?
Yeah, well, sure. That's what we say. Is she, your girlfriend's friend? What's she? Is she good looking? She's intriguing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's code for she spends a lot of time at the library.
That's actually a good trait. I'm okay with that.
No, I like the library.
Yes.
Not reading, but I don't like reading, but I like the library itself.
I like the concept. I don't like the smell of the library.
I like that it's a kind of a nice place to go for a nap in the afternoon.
Okay, did not know that.
No, a lot of people do that. You've never seen them. You walk in the quiet reading area, and there's just like people asleep left, right, and center.
Really?
Yeah. No, you've not been aware
no.
of this.
If I knew about this, I would show up to the library with a felt pen. And a lot of people would be going home with mustaches.
Okay, I thought it was going to be much worse than that.
Oh, no, probably.
I've seen some of your work.
Oh, that's true. That's true, you have. You've never passed out in front of me, though.
No, I try not to do that.
Because I only typically have one or two felt pens. I'd need a case. Yeah.
Okay, then.
So, anyways.
Is this a photo show?
This is not anymore. This is just derailed into
already,
frat house humor.
We usually takes us at least 6 or 7 minutes to get derailed.
Amazon. That's where you buy stuff, right?
Always.
Buy it through our site, The End.
Okay.
If you're at this point, people understand, I think. I don't think we're getting... Maybe we're getting new listeners on episode 134.
I think we are always new listeners.
I think we are, actually. I found out... We get messages... every so often that we are like, hey, just found your show.
If I stop paying attention, it's because I'm buying something on Amazon right now.
Do it through our site, man.
Okay. No, I'm just clicking through our site right now.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Okay. What are you buying on Amazon?
A car. New car.
Oh, get something Italian.
Maserati.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They're good. Bad on gas.
Okay. I'm buying some of that extra... I don't know, you get those plastic containers where you can fill it up?
Fill up what?
Gas.
Oh, gas. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can't buy the gas on Amazon, but you can at least buy the containers.
Is that true? I think you might be able to buy that on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that, Amazon.
Hey, I'm not sure. Let's just do our research first.
Okay.
And find out. You know what you can't buy on Amazon?
What?
You can, I guess you can buy, but it's ridiculously overpriced here in Germany, is cheap Gillette aftershave lotion stuff.
Okay.
Now, I don't really care about it, but you know how, now, I might be way off here, but you know how, like, you have a smell, like, daddy has a smell?
Yeah, my smell is awesome.
Well, yeah, no, your smell is awesome, there's no question.
Yeah, that's what they bottle it and call it.
They can't even sell that. You're better off buying a Maserati.
Okay.
No, but like I've for a long time just happened to use a certain aftershave lotion.
Okay.
And so that smell, it's a pretty middle of the road. It's nothing fancy, but it's just that smell happens, you know, is what my daughter and my wife both associate with me. But I can't get it here in Germany. They don't sell it.
Okay.
And so I have to use something else, and it's I can use nothing or then that's fine. My wife doesn't mind, but I can't use something else. Weird, eh?
That's super weird.
Yeah. Point is, I tried to buy some on Amazon, and no dice. You know, not in Germany. You can buy it in the States, but not in Germany.
Great.
So
how does that help us? How does that help us right now?
A little bit more yes and with the story would have made this a winner.
Okay.
Would have been. But yeah, hey, Alan, I've used the same aftershave for 10 years, and Lisa appreciates it.
Oh, okay. That's what I should have said.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure you do. Do you use the same one?
Aftershave?
Yeah.
I don't, to be honest, I don't use aftershave.
Right. I wouldn't, I'm okay with not using it, but now I'm stuck. It's like, I don't know. I was going to relate to some other story we just told, but it was off the air and makes no sense at all.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a callback to nothing. All right.
Photo stuff.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
Between yesterday and today?
That's the thing. Probably did, because I wanted to take this opportunity to remind everybody about the slight change in the show format for this week.
Right.
Well, these few weeks. Just a reminder, Adam and I's schedules aren't going to line up, so we re-recorded a couple shows ahead of time in order to get new shows instead of having a best of,
right.
which meant licensing some good photo show and airing their episodes. And they weren't cool with it. I talked to Marquardt. I was like, "Can I just air a bunch of your best of?" He did. He just walked away without talking. So,
okay, but I did shoot a few things today. Just a barbecue. Went to a barbecue with some friends, and actually just came back, you know, 45 minutes ago. Just got home, so I was literally uploading the pictures and trying to get one up for our latest photo challenge. So that okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I did. So shot some barbecue pictures. We have some friends that seems like I'm in the age now where, you know, all your friends that you used to, you know, go out and hang out with as childless are now with child. So there's a lot of small children at the gatherings these days. So took some pictures of other people's babies and toddlers and stuff. So did some of that just so I could kind of, you know, put some pictures up on their wall, hopefully, of their kids. I mean, I'm sure they have them already, but just some better pictures of their kids.
Some good ones.
Yeah, some good pictures.
Some ones that don't suck.
Yeah, and I did a couple of family portraits. At the last thing before we were leaving, visiting a friend I haven't seen in a while, and they have a new house, so we did like a family portrait that was intended to be like a housewarming gift. So the last thing I said, I'd like to take a family portrait. And then once I did that, there's a few other families and I said, hey, everything's set up. Why don't you just jump in? And I ended up taking a couple of family portraits. So
that's what I end up doing for housewarmings as well. I do that or an Upper Decker, but it doesn't,
either way,
everybody wins on both of them. But, with your kid, with your friend's kids, are you like, you're a few years ahead on the kids with them?
Yes, our kids were the oldest of the kids there.
So do you just sit back at the barbecue and just shoot your mouth off about how hard it's going to get? Oh, you just sit and wait.
No, I pretty much just had a good time. Yeah,
That's what I find. There's those people who are, oh, you wait till you have two, and then, you know, and then like as if it's the hardest thing in the whole world.
No, I think it looked like it was much more difficult on their end than on our end.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's that point where things go from, you know, very challenging and stressful to a lot less challenging and stressful again, and it's probably somewhere around 5 and 3, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a curve I've noticed because when they're not even crawling yet and they're just laying on the floor while you're, you know, watching The Sopranos. That's easy. That's easy parenting.
Yeah.
When they start crawling, it's like, okay, now she can get into stuff. And then once they're walking and thinking, hey, I could smash that.
And I think that to me where it changes is when you can reason with someone. Like I find that Jack now is 4. You can reason with him. You know, you can sit down, you can have a conversation, and you can reason with him. Whereas, you know, 3-year-olds, good, you know, I guess depends on the kid, but still – sometimes I guess you can reason with a 3-year-old. A 2-year-old, forget it. You might as well just flip a coin and see what you're going to get. But yeah, once they turn 4, and now my two kids are 6 and 4, it's a lot easier, just because, you know, they for the most part behave themselves and, you know, have a good time, and they play with the younger kids, and no, it was quite enjoyable. But I can see, you know, with people who have the newborns, again, all the schedules and there's much more to do, the changing diapers and did that kid crap himself, like all of that stuff, which, you know, don't really have to worry about to the same degree.
That's the game I don't like to play, but I always end up playing at these types of barbecues when there's like 8 kids running around. It's like, who crapped? That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good little thing to do is just to bring some of those stink bombs and then just huck them around different parts of the party and just watch everyone go crazy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good times.
So yeah, so I did some photos of that. And of course, like, I couldn't settle on just, you know, run of the mill, you know, taking just the average picture of a kid in the backyard playing. Like, I had the softbox out there, and I had I took it as my time to just experiment with 2 off-camera flashes ETTL. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, a dangerous game I'm playing, because there's a lot of small children around, and I got 2 flashes up on stands in the backyard, and about, I don't know, 3 or 4 kids under the age of 2 running around.
And both of them are the 430s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, of course they are, because I want the ETTL.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, and, yeah, a couple of times the flash stands got knocked over. I did catch them on a couple of occasions. One time a flash went over head first. Of course, it was protected by the umbrella, because there's an umbrella on one of them. And so, again, as the flash falls over forwards, the umbrella just basically takes the impact. So the flash was completely unscathed. But, yeah, there was a couple of tense moments. But I brought that on myself in an effort to try the 2 ETTL, sometimes in high.
Hang on. I'm going to stop you right there. First of all, I've had this happen to me. My umbrellas have taken a beating to the point that one of them is broken.
Okay.
But it's okay. It's better than my flash.
Exactly.
However, I bought sandbags. Why don't you buy some sandbags?
Oh, no. I fully should have. And I didn't intend to do what I was doing, but when I was out there and having fun, I just thought, meh, I don't know.
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah.
I've done that.
So, yep, so I did that and got some nice pictures of the kids outside playing. And, yeah, we'll send that to the parents. And, yeah, just something I like to do is, you know, especially when I haven't seen people in quite a while, is take some photos of their kids and then, you know, send it to them in Dropbox. I don't know if we talked about Dropbox before.
I'm sure. I'm sure we have.
Not a sponsor or anything, but just a cool file sharing program. So
I'm a fan.
We haven't mentioned it in a long, long time, if we have talked about it. So anyways, if those of you who are interested in an easy photo sharing system, because again, using email and full resolution 20 megapixel pictures isn't really that practical.
I like Dropbox. I mean, I love Dropbox, and you and I use it all the time. What I like about using it with you is that you know how it works.
Right.
Not everybody gets the concept, and to be fair, it is a little bit of a learning curve in terms of, hey, okay, where is that file now?
Right.
So when I try to share files with people, I tell them, okay, once they're there, you go ahead and just you take them out of that Dropbox. You take them out of that shared folder, and they're yours now. I don't need to have them in there anymore.
Right. Yeah, that is the part that I find a lot of people don't get. They stay there forever until 6 months. Yeah, until 2 years later, I take them out.
And then I get a you know, panicked phone call. Oh, they're not there. Do you still have them? No. I went into the internet and deleted every trace of them.
Yes.
Yeah, they're gone. But so I get that one, or the people who don't understand that our shared folder is not their only folder in Dropbox. So they'll just put files in there for their own sake that show up on my computer. I'm wondering why am I getting this?
Right. Yeah. I've had that happen as well. Yeah. The other thing about Dropbox is that I'm finding, and maybe this is a Canadian thing, I don't know, but it seems as though whenever I take pictures of friends' kids, and the first question I ask them after is, do you have Dropbox? I would say 80 to 90% of the time, the answer is already yes. They already have it.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
It's turning into that now
yeah.
with me as well. Yesterday I was surprised by who had it.
Right.
I was with a client and I was like, okay, I'll invite you to Dropbox. And oh no, got it. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm finding the same thing. People that I don't expect to have it already have it, which just makes it that much easier.
Yes, I agree. So that is how we share. So great photo challenge this week is water, because you know why? I like water.
Okay. Can't wait to share.
Awesome. Let's do mine first then. I'm sharing mine.
Okay, because I've been going first. Like, I think last two times I went first.
At least.
Yeah.
At least those, and I lost track after that. I'll have to listen back and figure out who went first.
Okay. So
I'm not going to.
Water.
Water everywhere. I was gonna do like a whole who wrote the rhyme of the ancient seagull?
I don't know.
Come on. I can't even think of it right now.
Don't worry.
It's not Alexander Pope. I'm sure it's not Alexander Pope.
I don't think it's important to your challenge right now.
But it's what's water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
I don't know.
That was the play on words that suddenly not play, suddenly seems like hard work. Okay. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Did I say Rhyme of the Ancient Seagull? I meant Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Okay.
Whatever. Just so everyone knows, I'm half literate.
Right.
All right. Well, here's my kid at the pool. Because you know why? We go to the pool like every day when it's sunny.
Why wouldn't you?
That's my point. I say that, see all the people in the background? I say that to them. Why aren't you at the pool?
Yeah.
Why is there only a black sweatshirt on the rock? Other than that, there are people at the pool, but I'm just not in the background here.
Okay.
So
we have those water squirters as well. We use them for water fights around the house. They are awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. This was her birthday present, which I thought was a little ambitious at two, but she ended up, She likes it very much, and she understands how it works now.
And that's where did that come from? Probably not Germany, because it's the Max Liquidator.
I bought it in Germany. I bought it on Amazon.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't. I actually bought it. They have a Toys R Us here.
Okay.
Which I was surprised. But I went. Yeah, I was there, buying something else for somebody else, and saw that and thought, oh yeah, that's what she's getting.
Yeah. Well, it says water.
Yeah. And she loves this thing. And I taught her how to fill it up. But she can't quite hold it to do the suction part, so she holds it between her knees, the blue part, and then pulls the red part up with her hands.
She gets it done. I like the photo. I definitely think that the photo is made by the stream of water coming out. If it didn't have that, I would say eh. But I really do like it, and the way it catches the light is very cool. Again, this is where I don't know if our monitors are on the same page, but the picture looks very blue, not just the water, but like her tones look blue. So is that me?
I think it's you. I think it's time to visit your monitor.
All right. It comes across as the tones are a little bit blue, but like yeah. I said, we've had issues between comparing and contrasting. When I do get things printed, let me say that they all turn out fine, so they must be doing something at the photo printing place to color correct whatever I'm doing wrong.
They do that, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, no, I like your photo.
If it didn't have those water streams, it would not be the photo challenge picture, definitely. Because there was one where she was facing the camera. One where she actually sprays the water at the camera.
Oh, I'd like that.
It didn't turn out as nice. Like it was in theory, it was great, but there was enough wrong with it where I thought this was actually a better photo because of the water spray and the dedication here to her. What you don't see is just out of frame is a pregnant lady in a bikini that she's spraying.
Nice.
Yeah, but pretty far off, so she's not actually getting her. So she's far enough away.
Right.
So there is effort there.
Okay. And what did you do here photography-wise?
Nothing. I used a polarizer, but I don't think I needed to. Like, from this angle, I think I would have achieved the same effect without or almost the same.
Okay.
And other than that, I just basically made sure I, you know, put the sun in the right place. And so that I wouldn't have too much backlighting or too much just in the face lighting. So it's a kind of a side light that we got going here.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, this is probably shot right at noon o'clock. So it's you just do the best you can and hopefully get some good colors. And that's that.
Okay.
Well, the other thing, what I did do, so I should point out, is I did bring an older camera. I didn't bring my A camera to the pool.
Right.
Because I'm standing in the pool here.
Right.
With my 5D Classic.
Okay.
And an 85mm lens.
Still pretty good gear for standing in the water.
It is. I knew it's not crowded. When the pool's crowded, I don't go anywhere near it because there's a bunch of 6-year-old or 8-year-old kids with these Max Liquidators running around. Just, I mean, there's a camera.
Right.
So I don't put myself in harm's way.
Right. Okay. Good thinking.
Whew. All right. Let's see yours.
There you see mine is a picture of my son, Jack, playing in the sprinkler in our backyard.
Yep. This is a Bare Naked Ladies song, right?
Sure. That's fully what I had intended.
Sprinkler for on the lawn?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the 6D with, I think it was a 50 millimeter. Yeah, it was a 50 millimeter on there. And then my wife holding a flash off camera to light him.
Okay.
And the water. So the flash catches the water and catches him enough to light him. And I think that was a high-speed sync move. I'm not looking at the data in front of me. Do you have the data? Yeah, and now I see it. It has to be high-speed sync because it's a 1/640th of a second exposure. So
right.
I was trying to freeze all the water. And because just prior to that, he was running in and out, I was looking for a fast shutter speed to freeze all the motion. So he stopped for a drink at the sprinkler. And then I just thought that was a good moment to capture. So there it is.
It is a good moment. That's for sure. And when I say it like that, you know, bad stuff's coming.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing that you're going to rip on the blown out, background over.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm okay with that. I mean, ideally, it'd be better if it was shot at magic hour. But as I well know, your kids don't just perform at magic hour.
No, no.
It's not like, okay, Daddy, the sun's about to go down. Let's get ready. Let's go outside and have some fun. And don't worry, I'll look at the camera the whole time, Dad. That's not a conversation I ever have with my kid.
Right.
No. Like she's like honestly, she's like her face is like a camera magnet. Except that they're both the same pole, and they just whoop, looking somewhere else.
All right, cool. Well, have at it. The criticism. I'm interested.
There's something. Okay, great photo, but you have a really tough position here. It's a really difficult position to take this photo. Like, cause I know your yard, and I know the lighting situation, so I know what this is. Without a flash, he's in silhouette.
Yeah.
Right. If you turn around the other way. You're gonna miss the shot, so you're kind of in a
you're shooting back at the house, which isn't much of a background,
right. So this is one of those situations where you know the moment definitely makes the picture, but the rest of it moving forward, you know, something to look for. I don't mind having it blown out in the background, but the light that's on him doesn't exist in nature. You know what I mean? Like. I showed it to my wife because I thought, okay, maybe I'm just being hypercritical, but she said she said in theory it could be the reflection off a window that's coming back.
Yeah, I think, see, here's where I think you're overanalyzing. I think, because I even think I'm a little bit hypercritical, and even I'm not going to take it to that extreme and worry about that this might not exist in nature.
Like I'm not talking about worry. I'm not talking about actually thinking it. I'm not talking about going, oh, that's a problem. But subconsciously, when there's light, when there's this lighting situation that we don't notice somewhere, that we're not trying to replicate, we back that up, that doesn't exist naturally, our eye knows it and our eye sees something off.
Yeah, I don't have that same feeling. I don't know why. I mean, it could be a reflector.
It again, but because you're not walking around with that. Now, I feel like you don't think that because, well, you were there, and B, hopefully you're biased. I mean, it is your son.
No, I just think that I have no problem with, I mean, like sometimes, a lot of times actually, you look at photos that you know clearly are lit, but they're still even lit. There, you just think, oh, that's like art. Like that, it's a neat lighting that you've created. It doesn't have to exist in nature. And so, I mean, I know right away when I look at this that it doesn't exist in nature, but I don't know. I like how the water appears. I mean, I like the creation of light, as opposed to, it doesn't matter to me if it exists in nature.
Okay. I'm happy to agree to disagree.
That's fine. Yeah. No, because I understand.
What we will do, I'm going to put this out there. I would like to hear from other people and be honest. If I'm just being hypercritical, hey, hammer me on it. If there is something that that people find a little bit jarring, let us know. I'm interested to know.
Okay.
Because it's, for me, it's also part of it is the skin tone colors. Like if you look at the shot of my daughter in the pool, her skin tones are not perfect. Like they're, you know, a little bit, not quite blown out, but they're towards that end, and. She would benefit from some lighting. However, with yours, with the sprinkler one, the skin tones sort of don't fit with that scenario to me.
Well, you're right, because they don't.
They don't. they don't. They don't. Okay.
All right.
Let's move on. I'd like to hear from our listeners and see what they think. Maybe I'm just being hypercritical jerk.
I think they're going to think that you're, yeah. You're hypercritical.
But right.
No, no.
This week's topic, we're going to talk about contrast. Nothing to do with water. The subject isn't water this week.
Okay.
So we just wanted to, this is going to be real short because, hey, we're over time already.
How long has this been?
When we spent 90 minutes on your backyard shot. And this is what people are hearing is the edited down version. There was the part where you said the F word that got a little bit dicey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, now I've derailed it with that lie, because Adam didn't say the F word.
I think people know I'm better than that.
Yes. People do know that. No, I want to talk about how to get good contrast.
Okay.
These are going to be the basics. This isn't going to go into heavy duty, heavy lifting. This is just going to be some simple tips on how to get good contrast. Now is that, you know, is that high contrast, low contrast? Well, that's up to you.
Okay.
To decide. We'll kind of talk about, you know, what contrast is. What is contrast?
I don't know. You're going to have to explain that one.
The short version, the 101 version is basically the difference between dark and light.
That's what I was going to say.
That's it. Dark and light, like Batman, and because he's inside, he's dark. And no, cut that part out.
I was gonna use it a lot more words to say that though, and then probably talk myself in circles a few times.
Whew, good.
Dodged a bullet.
Glad we avoided that. So how do we get good contrast? Well, it's funny that I didn't plan this, and you know, your photo kind of fits in with this. My first tip is start with good light. Put yourself in a good position to get. Now, without the flash, as we talked about on your shot, you would have horrible, like a huge contrast.
Right.
Right? So let's pretend you didn't use the flash. That would not be putting yourself in a good position if you're not using the flash.
Right.
You're going to get just ridiculous contrast, nothing you can do about it. So the first thing you do is put yourself in a good position, meaning have a look around at the dynamic range. If you have super bright brights and, you know, super dark darks, then you're going to be in for a tough fight. Okay. Next is, let's say you want to get good contrast in camera. Okay. Now what you're going to do is, dial in you can change your contrast in your program in what do you call the profile settings? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm not sure the profile settings, like in your camera.
Yeah, what are they called? I can't think of what they're called. The not the each individual, like not like the nighttime or the portrait you know, not all those settings, but you have picture profile settings that you have in your camera.
Right. I never change those. I always do it in post. But yeah, I kind of understand what you mean.
And if you're shooting JPEG, it's kind of important that you set that in camera. If you're shooting RAW, don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, it's a nice, depending on what program you're using to process your files, it doesn't really matter. If you're using a Canon program, it will keep all the settings that you set. It'll start with that as a default, and then you can change things. So it's nice to start with that and think, okay, maybe I have the picture dialed in. But if you're using Aperture, you're pretty much going to start from scratch anyways.
Right.
Or Photoshop or Adobe Lightroom or whatever it is. So, but if you're shooting with JPEG, go ahead and dial in your exposure. You can go into your picture profile settings, and it could be standard, neutral, all those different settings, but you can customize each and every one of them to dial up the sharpness and dial down the sharpness. You can dial in the colors. You can dial in the saturation, and you can dial in the contrast.
Okay. This is, so, again, I knew this was all possible, but this is not something that I ever do, so.
Well, this is something that you might want to think about. Here.
I apologize.
You might want to think about doing this simply because if you have the contrast cranked up way too high in camera, even if you're shooting RAW, the RAW images will be fine, but your previews are going to have a lot of contrast and it'll cause you to shoot a slightly different manner. Because your instant feedback will be, wow, I'm getting some high contrast here. I better do something.
Right.
And the opposite is the same. Well, I'm going to shoot low contrast, and my preview images will, you know, you see where I'm going.
Right.
So if you're going to shoot JPEG, make sure you dial in the appropriate contrast. If you want high contrast, dial in high contrast. That's pretty straightforward stuff.
Yep. I'm still okay with you.
Now, in post, let's say you take it in post. Now you're going to... you want to alter the contrast of your images. Let's say in Aperture, because we both use that. What are some of the ways that you adjust the contrast?
With the contrast slider.
That's the first, and that's the basic one. And for most things, that's pretty simple. There's not a lot of control. You're kind of at the mercy of what it does, but you can dial it in to whatever level you want and just move on.
Right.
And it's handy. It's a great way to do it. You can dial. You can go in the negative direction as well, to the left.
Right.
And reduce contrast if you want to kind of, you know, even it out a little bit. And again, if you've put yourself in a good position, starting with good light, you're going to get good results on this. It's not a rescue boat.
Right.
Okay, what about the black level? Have you ever tried messing with the black level setting?
Yeah, not with a whole lot of success, but I pretty much tinkered with every slider that exists in Aperture, to be honest.
That's a good one, black level, or whatever the corresponding, whatever it's called in Lightroom. So that's something you can use to adjust the contrast. Levels. The actual just little levels that you can use, it's the same in Photoshop. You can adjust the levels. It's kind of got that. You adjust the white point, the black point, and then the midpoint.
Right.
If you must have used those as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something that you can use, and what's good about that is you can adjust that according to the histogram.
Yes.
So you can basically drag that black point over if you've got your black point is way off to the right, and you have a lot of room before it shows up at the left part of your histogram, you can set that just by visual without even looking at the picture. So you can drag that over and make that correspond. And the last one, the one that I recommend messing with and having fun with, is the curves. Have you ever used the curves?
Yeah, not so much in Aperture, because I'm not exactly sure how to do it, but sometimes in Photoshop.
Right. So I almost always, in fact, I would say always do use it in Aperture.
Okay.
Which is, and most of my images, for what I shoot, I apply just a simple S shape to it. And that gives me, usually gives me the contrast that I'm looking for.
Okay.
So that's, I tend to, I don't use the contrast slider very often. I don't use the levels very often. I don't use the black level very often. In fact, almost never, because I try very hard to get it right in camera. The one thing, the first thing I go and mess with is the curve, and just add a, I have a default S that I add, that I've basically created. I copy and paste it across all my images, and that's my new benchmark. And that tends to give your pictures a little more punch. So that's something to look for.
Okay.
So I'll get you to try some of yours, and I'll show you exactly how I do it. And basically, I set the white point first. I click up the top right-hand side of the histogram, drag that up a little bit, go down to the bottom left, and click on a point and drag that down a little bit. So now we get just a very subtle S. It's not even an S yet, but it's on its way. and that's where I start.
Okay, I can't wait for the video on that.
There'll be no video.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to contrast, what do you look for? You know, like what do you try to make sure that there's shadow detail?
Yes.
Always.
Yes, I do.
If it goes to black, that's it. Forget it. Throw the image away.
Not necessarily, but I definitely in camera. I'm trying to look at the histogram as I'm taking the photo and make sure that I don't have, you know, too much clipping on either side.
That's a good idea. See, I tend to shoot like that as well to make sure I have no clipping, or if possible. And then you can always go ahead and adjust that in post.
Right.
So if you are adjusting it now, let's say you want to make all the shadows go right to black. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead. It's fine to do that.
But you have the choice at that point.
You have the choice at that point. That's exactly right. That's what we talked about putting yourself in a good position to start with.
Right.
Is now you have the choice if, okay, I'm gonna push those all the way to black, and that's no problem. So I'm going to get a high contrast image. So I'm going to get lots of bright whites, lots of black blacks. Boom, high contrast. Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you want, you know, just a bunch of grays. It comes up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Now you want the low contrast. Point is, I have no problem with making the blacks go all the way to black. And the same with the whites. I don't mind blowing out some pixels. I like to have the option, but, you know, if not, okay. So how, do you ever use the highlight hot and cold areas?
I have. I certainly have played around with it, but it's not part of my general workflow, I would say.
I'm a fan of this. Now, again, this will be something that is called something else in Lightroom, but basically you can have the indicators on. Like in aperture, it's everything that's blown out white. If you turn this feature on, everything blown out white will just appear red.
Right.
And everything that's gone to black will be blue. And so you can make those adjustments and get rid of the whites or the you know, get rid of the reds and the blue, to bring your image within the realm of once I said realm, that was all over.
I was just waiting for this to end.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's just do that. So I do use that. I use that. So
the realm.
So how much is too much? Like when you're going to go shoot, like I find that in black and white images, I like high contrast much more than I do in color.
Right. I agree with you.
So that's something I always kind of look for. So, but again, the rest of it is up to you, but that's how you control your contrast and get what you want to get.
Okay.
The end.
I feel like we're Knights of the Round Table.
At the end?
No, I was just working in the realm that we're working in. Oh. Yeah.
The realm.
Still
of
got
still magic.
Stuck. I'm still stuck on realm.
Who says realm? Honestly. I gotta go just sit in the corner and give a good think over this.
Right.
Okay. Figure out where I've driven this bus. Next week's challenge.
Okay.
I got one.
Great.
Because it's summer and we're having fun.
Always.
Summer fun.
Easy. Done.
Happened so fast.
Yeah.
Summer fun.
All right.
Had me a blast. I met a girl.
Just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just bury yourself right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang up. So next week's challenge, summer fun. Okay. Also, a quick reminder before we go here, buy stuff on Amazon through our site, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows that. And our website's Adam. Where can people find your stuff?
Twohosers.com. Sometimes when you post stuff. And Facebook, Twohosers, and SchwartzChronicles.com.
Right.
Those are the places. How about your stuff?
AlanAttridge.com, which you can find on the Google. And other than that, I recommend checking out Twohosers.com. We have the show notes and all relevant links. Everything that's going on with the show, you can find there. So until next week, get out there and make better photos.